turn to Proverbs 6:32. We're going to talk about something we haven't talked about in a long time, and that's adultery tonight. Proverbs 6:32. Yeah, we're still talking about that. We're going to cover two verses tonight, Lord willing. When Judy was gone, we covered five.
That's what she
and
said.
We figured that it was because, yeah. So Judy comes back, we only get through two.
But, I have a lot of questions.
Yeah. It says, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." So let's look at the first phrase of that. "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding." The "but" there is a contrasting conjunction, which takes us back to the previous thought. And the previous thought was about the thief, who, if he steals to satisfy his soul when he's hungry, the men won't despise him, but he will have to repay it. But, on the other hand, adultery is a different story. You are going to be despised if you do that, which is what Solomon is getting at here. He says that he that committeth, or whoso committeth adultery with a woman, lacketh understanding. Understanding is power or ability to understand, intellect, intelligence. The phrase "of understanding" means intelligent, capable of judging with knowledge. Similarly, it is used with "of some understanding" or "of no understanding," etc. So if you just plug in the definition there, the man who commits adultery lacks intelligence and capability to judge with knowledge, obviously, or he wouldn't have done such a thing. So just to put it in plain and simple English, like I'm wont to do, people that commit adultery are stupid idiots, basically. That's what the definition is saying there. And we're told in Proverbs chapter 7 that the young man that is seduced by the strange woman, that he is void of understanding. Proverbs 7 and verse 7, it says, "And behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." I'll get to talking about that verse more here in a couple of weeks. But the point that I want from it right there is that he's void of understanding. And then he demonstrates this in verse 21 and 22. "With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks." Like the dumb ox. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's just following the guy in front of him, and before you know it, he's getting his head blown off because he's just simple. He's stupid. He doesn't think. So this man's void of understanding. Void means not occupied by visible contents, containing no matter, empty, unfilled. So the skull of an adulterer, therefore, is not occupied by visible contents. It contains no matter. It is empty. He's void of understanding. It's as if he has no brain. In other words, he's an imbecile. Somebody that does that has no sense. And it's understandable why that's the case. And I'm just going to basically review some of the stuff that we've covered up until this point. So given the fact that it's common knowledge that they who commit adultery are heinous criminals, remember Job 31, 9 through 11, that was the verse that Judy just mentioned there before we got to the study. Job 31, 9 through 11. Job says, "If mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her, for this is an heinous crime." Only place in the Bible the word heinous is used. "Yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction and would root out all mine increase." So it's a heinous crime. Those who do it are judged by God. Hebrews 13:4, it says that marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Given the fact that people that do so have the lake of fire waiting on them in Revelation 21 and verse 8. Revelation 21 and verse 8. It says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and all and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I'm just building my case with all of these things that we've learned so far. We know that the person that does this will be brought to poverty. Remember, Job said in Job 31:12 that it would root out all his increase. And then in Proverbs 5 and verse 10, we're told that your substance is going to end up being in somebody else's house. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And then in Proverbs 6:26, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. So it's going to bring the man to poverty. Furthermore, his flesh is going to be consumed by STDs, Proverbs 5:11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. It'll also destroy the man's family. It'll bring reproach upon himself, Proverbs 6:33, a wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. We'll talk about that verse here next. Given all these things, so given the fact that people that commit adultery are heinous criminals, they'll be judged by God, they have the lake of fire awaiting them, if they're not under the blood of Christ, they'll be brought to poverty, their flesh will be consumed with STDs, they'll destroy their family and bring reproach upon themselves, it's no exaggeration to say that they're stupid, block-headed, foolish dolts. Right? Anybody that would do something like that, knowing that all these things are true, you don't have much sense. Sad to say. Then Solomon goes on to say, in Proverbs 6 and verse 32, or the verse that we're looking at here, he says, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. So the thief that he is contrasting the adulterer with, the thief will lose his possessions if he's found out. Remember verses 30 and 31, men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. And we talked about that. It was costly if you were a thief. You'd probably end up giving everything that you had. Men would have compassion on you if you did it when you were hungry, but you're still going to be punished. But it's limited to losing your possessions. Your life is not going to be destroyed if you stole to satisfy your soul. But the adulterer destroys his own soul, whether or not he's caught. You see, the thief, if he's caught, he's only going to be in trouble if he's caught. Now, of course, God will have his way with him, but men aren't going to know it, and I suppose that men might not know it if you weren't caught in adultery either. But the destruction there would only be of your possessions. But with the adulterer, it's your own soul. His very soul is going to be destroyed. And I'll show you one way that could happen here in just a minute. So basically, adultery is suicide of the soul. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. It's as if he executed his inner man. And in a way, in a sense, that you basically do that. You really destroy the core of your being by that, and you have to live with that for the rest of your life. He destroys himself in the ways that I just mentioned there above, you know, coming to poverty and being judged with disease and reproach and things like that. And then God will judge him. He'll judge his soul in this life. Whoremongers and adulterers God will judge, Hebrews 13:4. If he's not under the blood of Christ, though, God will destroy his soul in hell for all eternity. First of all, turn to Proverbs 7:27, where Solomon says, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. So if someone's not under the blood of Christ, that and a bunch of other sins that he no doubt committed will send him to hell. And talk about your soul being destroyed. Matthew 10:28 says those very words, that God is able to do that, and he will, to those who are not redeemed by Jesus Christ. Matthew 10 and verse 28. Matthew 10:28. It says, and fear not them, Jesus said this, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Now, God is the one that's destroying the soul in hell. How is it that the adulterer destroys his own soul? Well, he does it temporarily in this life. But who does he have to blame when he's in hell and God is destroying his soul? Himself, right? He destroyed his own soul. It was his own choice. He did that to himself. So just let this be a sobering warning to you that having an exciting adulterous affair, because that's why people do it, because it's exciting, right? There's other reasons, but I'm sure that plays into it a lot. It's something new, it's different, There's the chance of getting caught. There's the infatuation with some other woman or some other man, right? It's an exciting thing. But having an exciting adulterous affair is certainly not worth losing your own soul over, whether it's in a temporal sense or an eternal sense. Look at Mark 8 and verse 36. Now, somebody might be a child of God, and they won't be going to hell. But you know what? You can go through hell on earth, and God can make your life very miserable. And even if you're not outwardly being punished, just the torment that goes on inside yourself. That's why it says he destroyeth his own soul, because you are internally tormented, and it would be very hard to forgive yourself. Mark 8 and verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, or a beautiful woman that's not your wife, or a handsome man that's not your husband? What would it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." So that takes care of verse 32.